Hello again, everybody. This is Press Start on KCPR San Luis Obispo 91.3 FM, your weekly look at video games and the gaming industry. We're back after a little bit of a hiatus. Got some station events last week, and this week, well, we planned on putting on a recording for last week, but I got a throat thing that wasn't too good. So
a throat thing?
A throat thing. That's Dave Hampton.
Was it a giant enemy crab?
Yes, it was, and it was dealing me massive damage.
Oh, no.
Massive amounts. And so I couldn't really talk without, like, hacking up a lung. So apologies for that, but we are back this Thanksgiving week. Christmas Eve? Or Christmas Eve.
That's right.
Wishful thinking right there.
The Press Start Time Warp is a long-standing convention of our show.
The Thanksgiving Day Eve show?
I guess it is.
Yeah.
I mean, we're recording here Tuesday night, but it's actually going to be Wednesday morning when this actually airs, and then those of you on the podcast stream can pick it up whenever the heck you like.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's not Christmas. That won't come for another month.
I haven't had the Black Friday yet.
Yeah, Black Friday. Yeah, speaking of Black Friday, everyone believes that Black Friday is, that day after Thanksgiving, the Friday when all the sales happen and everyone goes nuts for deals and good stuff like that. Well, the real Black Friday happened last Friday, and that was the release of the PlayStation 3. And coming up a little later on in the show today, we've got, I went out there. I braved the Friday evening chaos that was the PS3 launch, and I went out and I talked to some people from lines, and I got the lowdown on what was why people were waiting in line for the PS3, what they've been doing, how long they've been awake, all that good stuff. So a little bit later in the show, we will have coverage of the PS3 launch.
Oh, good. I've been hearing a lot of talk about how people speculate what people were really there for on the PS3 launch versus the Wii launch.
I can tell you one thing.
Yeah?
It was like a refugee camp.
No, people
brought like tents out front of Best Buy. They brought like tents. They brought like inflatable air cot mattress things to sleep on.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, it was.
I was thinking of like armed guards.
No, and no. There weren't any like Ugandan children like with rifles or anything like that.
There's so many tasteless jokes. I'm gonna leave that one aside. I'm trying to be a better person.
That's what I do, man. Come on. So we'll talk about that. We've also got some reviews to get to, including Microsoft's huge release, Gears of War.
Oh, yeah.
Gears of War.
Did Microsoft release that? Is it actually a Microsoft game?
I believe it's published by Microsoft.
Oh, no kidding. I hadn't thought to pay attention. As far as I'm concerned, it's epic. It's Cliff Bleszinski.
Yeah, I got a chance to play it at your house, as a matter of fact.
That's
some
fun game.
Yeah. And that game has got me now. Every time I hear gunfire, I like immediately look for cover. It's got me trained. They're like, oh, what can I hide behind?
You mean you didn't beforehand? You're like, you see some guy walking up, he holds a pistol at you, you're just like, circle strength!
I like to challenge gunfire head on.
You've never been mugged, have you?
No.
All right.
Speaking of that, getting back to the PS3 launch, there are some crazy stories about what happened in the PS3 lines. Muggings, drive-bys, births, I believe.
Yeah, I guess. Do we have a formal story on this later
on?
No,
we don't. Not formally. I've heard a rumor about someone who gave birth?
Well, so I heard this all on Orange Lounge Radio, which hit the podcast stream a couple of days ago. The PS3 launch had a number of kind of frightening events happen at it. Among other things, people were mugged, or people were held up at gunpoint and asked politely to turn over whatever money they might be having saved up for the PS3 launch, but in a...
You'd think a line of like 50 people would be able to like fight off like a couple of muggers. You know?
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure how that worked. I didn't see the article, I just heard it reported. But apparently somebody got shot because he confronted them. So, I mean, I don't know.
PlayStation 3, serious business.
I mean, PS3 versus the Wii, well, people are getting shot over the PS3. One woman I heard, again, on Orange Lounge Radio, and I'm such a hack. I take all of my news from them. Oh, well. But hackneyness aside, I understand this woman wanted a PS3 very badly and was just about 9 months pregnant and starting to have contractions. And she said, no, I want to stay. I want my PS3.
So she stayed in line?
Yeah, I don't remember what happened afterwards, because I was walking around on campus when I heard this and I was crossing. So I was watching for cars at the time and missed the story. But apparently somebody was willing to risk the life of their unborn child for getting a PS3. Some people are willing to get shot over it.
You got
to
feed the child somehow.
It's just a game system. Get over it, people.
No, it is not, Dave. It is not just a game system.
Well, I guess that's why we're both on the show. We both have to have the, you know, point counterpoint.
Counterpoint, Dave. Some guy in Japan bought a PS3 and actually turned it into an actual working grill.
No kidding.
And he posted pictures of, like, sausages. Like, you open the top of the PS3 of the grill part, and there's, like, a fully functional grill inside the PS3.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, yeah. So he was making, like, meat on it. And
okay, so not everybody buying a PS3 is insane.
No.
But
most people are.
So I heard some reports from people who went out to... this is just random places on the internet, so take it for what it's worth. But apparently people buying the PS3 were largely, PS3, rawr, I must have it. Must have it now! And it sounded like a lot of those people were angry, you know, must-have game sorts of people. Everybody seems to be speculating that they just want to hawk it on eBay. They saw what happened with the 360, and they want, you know, their piece of the action. The Wii people, on the other hand, Orange Lounge spent, what, 10, 15 minutes just in their show talking about these interviews they had with people. Oh, hi, are you for the Wii? Are you going to hawk it on eBay? And only one guy said, yeah, but he was buying two, and the other he was going to play.
Well, see, the thing that strikes me is that the market on eBay for these PS3s got completely oversaturated.
Like, oh, really?
You look now, there's 20,000 to 30,000 auctions with more going up every day for the PS3.
Oh, man, I bet nobody's actually playing this.
Yeah, no, and it's interesting because, you know, at first, the first, you know, first day, the units were going for a couple grand on eBay. And come today, what are we, what's today, Tuesday? So we are, what, four or five days after the launch?
Was Friday?
Yeah, so 4 or 5 days?
4 days.
4 days. The price of them on eBay has just plummeted. It's gone right down the gutter because there are so many people selling them on eBay that it's practically like walking into a retail store and picking
them
up.
I was mostly kidding when I first said that I didn't think anybody was going to get the system to play it. But now I feel somewhat vindicated.
Yeah, no, it's
that's silly.
Crazy stuff. And like I said, we'll go out to that Friday night, that fateful Friday in San Luis Obispo here. And see what all these people were up to.
What was I doing on Friday night?
What were they?
I was doing homework. Talking with my friends about camping out for the Wii.
Did you camp out for the Wii?
I did not camp out for the Wii. I showed up at 9:30 on Sunday morning out in the Best Buy line and met some of my friends there because I wanted to go buy Red Steel for my roommate, who did camp out in Target in Paso Robles and managed to get one very nicely. No one thought to go to Target. Everyone's at Best Buy and Circuit City. Circuit City only had two of the dang things.
That's heard about that. About the Wii, I think is interesting is that Zelda Twilight Princess is getting review scores that are just astronomically high. And I can't remember the last time that two games that got such great scores, actually three games if you really think about it, in the last 2.5 weeks or so, you've seen Final Fantasy XII for the PS2.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen Twilight Princess for the Wii, and you've seen Gears of War for the 360, and they've all scored into the high nines.
Well, so each major player in the industry, Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo, each have a AAA title. Too bad Sony's
isn't Square Enix
on their new
Sony
system.
A little bit. Yeah, yeah, it's kind of interesting, and I can't remember the last time you had three titles score into the high nines and tens like these three have all at the same time. I mean, it's like a great time to, you know, to be a gamer.
Oh, no, it's a terrible time. You don't have enough money for all of this. You get three different systems.
Why you go buy a PS3
games.
And hawk it?
No, you can't. On eBay, all the prices are gone. You can't do any of that. Which is
so. It is a sad time. So if you have invested unwisely, it is a sad time to be a gamer. But if you've invested wisely, then it is a good time.
Of course, I'm always a proponent for people playing games, you know, not super hardcore. Find one game you really like, get that machine, and just go for it and have a great time with it. You can always get the others later.
This is true. But for those people who have to have it all now, instant gratification, American consumer culture, iconoclasm. What do you do, Dave? What do you do?
You go to eBay.
Yeah, and you spend lots of money. In any case...
Unless you're buying a PS3.
Yeah.
I wonder if you can get them for less than they are in stores.
That would be the ultimate sign.
Let's check on that during the next music break.
We will check on that, and we will get back to you. In the meantime, let's go to a music break right now. And when we come back, we will have coverage of the PS3 launch. We'll have a little more about the Wii and the recent developments about that system since coming out, and the PS3, and our review of Gears of War, and... my review
Your review.
My review. I do recall that I was going to review.
It's going to be like a vaudeville review.
Elite Beat Agents.
You're going to be dancing around and singing and putting all sorts of crazy costumes on that you guys can't see out in Radio Land.
I expect to win a Tony handily.
Excellent.
All right, so all that when we come back, stick around. This is Press Start on KCPR San Luis Obispo 91.3 FM.
Come on, pick a song.
Are You Overdrive by Brain Cells and Akuma Joe Belmont. Stuff the Blood on the Asphalt remix album came out last year, I believe. That was a good remix, and Akuma Joe Belmont's good for a lot of stuff. So we'll play some more stuff from him a little bit later on in the show. But right now, it's time to take a look at the launch of the PlayStation 3 on Friday night. So Today, Sony was bragging, I guess, that they completely sold out all their units.
That's not hard to do.
Oh, congratulations, Sony.
That's like when Sega came out with their 250,000 Saturn, or 25,000 Saturns, and they all sold out, and they said, oh, that bodes well for our sales.
Yeah. Sony, of course, only shipped with, what, 200,000 units?
Is that what it was?
I believe it, that's what it was. Unofficially, that's what it was. And, of course, they're going to sell out. Are you kidding me? There's about 199,000 eBay auctions for one. But speaking of the eBay auctions, just checking right now, I am shocked. Not really shocked, but it's interesting that all of the auctions on the front page are about 10 to 20% more than the total value of what you'd get at the store. So they're not getting a huge return on these. They're getting
about half back, $200-$300.
Yeah, it's about that.
A couple of people have really high bid auctions, but I don't know if anybody's bidding on them because they're all round numbers.
Yeah. So it's a saturated market, like I said, and, you know, that's just saturated market. That's what happens when you have too much supply. It's just basic economics. So much supply, you're going to get a lowering of price. So that's where the PS3 stands now. But the PS3 launch was a whole different story. Let's talk about some of these crazy things that people happen, such as the man dislocating his jaw in the race to get to be one of the people.
They said their graphics were jaw-dropping. But
rim shot.
Who knew?
Okay. Wisconsin, West Bend, Wisconsin, at a Walmart. Okay, they got 10 PS3s to be selling. It's the night before. The store manager, he set up 10 chairs outside the store.
And, oh no!
And this only gets worse. And he told the crowd, if you rush to the chair, if you were sitting in a chair, once they're all taken up, you will get a PS3. Okay.
Oh no!
19-year-old man running for the chair gets pushed or trips or something, falls into a pole head first and dislocates his jaw.
Ow!
The price that these people were willing to pay to get a PS3 is astounding. So that was one incident.
But the thing is, it's not even the price they're paying to get one. It's the price they're paying to get one now.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, seriously, wait 3 months and you'll have another one.
And your jaw will be intact.
Seriously. Although I wonder if it's kind of like that whole, you know, oh yeah, it was great, man. I got knocked into a pole and I dislocated my jaw. It was great. I got a PS3. It rocks. I sold it on eBay.
To pay for his medical bills.
Yeah, yes. Seriously.
The other interesting, another interesting story about PS3, Kentucky. This is Wednesday night. This is a full day and a half before the PS3 launches, all right? Kentucky. Station news reporters interviewing a TV station, news reporters interviewing people online. Some people drive up in a car with a BB gun and start firing the line. And not only do they hit the news reporter, but they hit some of the people online. There are at least 30 people there when this happened, and it was at a Best Buy. No one was seriously injured, but there is some video of the event because they were shooting this for the news reporter. There was some video of them, of the drive-by. So if you want to check it out, head on over to gamesarefun.com. It's on the front page still. There's a link to the video there, and you can get the whole story. But that is just insane. Who goes out of their way to shoot people waiting for a PS3? That's either fanboy bitterness or just
I think that's just the same
behavior.
Sort of, it was probably, where'd you say it was?
This is in Kentucky.
Kentucky. Do they have college towns there?
Yeah.
They do have colleges, too.
It's
the same sort of mentality. Like, whoa, there's a bunch of people doing something silly. Let's drive
Let's
by
go
and
shoot
them
with a BB gun.
It's just like toilet papering a house, except you have to buy BBs.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's
toilet papering a crowd of PS3 people would be pretty funny, especially because toilet paper's white like the Wii.
I don't know if very many people would make that connection because most PS3 campers, aren't they eBayers?
Yeah,
I don't really know. I mean, anyways, San Luis Obispo local launch was not so crazy, and people were a lot better well behaved, although not by much.
No,
as you will soon see. So Friday night I went down and checked out the Best Buy line. When I got there, there were about 50 people in line waiting, and like I said, it was like a miniature refugee camp. So let's take a listen, and you can hopefully what I saw when I went down there.
People cut in front of people when they knew it wasn't their spot.
Like, basically what happened was we had a uniform line and a list that described, like, sequential order of every person in the line. And when the Best Buy manager came out
on Thursday morning,
they basically screwed the whole system up and started a new line, which made the whole system chaotic. So they basically undid every effort that we had done for 12 hours in a row.
We had roll call every 2 hours.
Yeah. And we also had a list of the people before us and behind us.
I'm into it.
And it was very organized. And then when they came out and put the marker there, it became mob rule.
So where were you guys before before that happened? Where were you guys in line, like, on the list?
27.
13, 12.
And there's...
Now 34.
My 12 became 42.
My 27 became 43, but that wasn't 100%. That was, like, partly my fault, because I should have just jumped in line after they made the new line.
Same with us. We kind of got demoralized by the whole bum rushing incident, and we kind of took an ethical oasis. And after that, we were like...
Wrong oasis.
We were like, oh, why are we doing this? Why did we get demoralized? We just hop back in, because we already were invested in it. So.
How long have you guys actually been, like, sitting here?
I've been sitting here since 8 o'clock. On Wednesday night.
Well, not.
And a lot of us
7 o'clock,
like 7 o'clock,
5 o'clock Wednesday night.
5 o'clock Wednesday night.
So, have you guys got any sleep while you've been out here? I mean,
I haven't slept for 2 days.
Yeah. I slept in the car, but I thought they might get mad because I wasn't actually in line. But
Most of us have gotten probably 2 hours.
On the whole, then, has this experience been like? Would you do this again if you had the chance?
Oh, I've done this since the 8th grade. We did it for PS2. We're going to do it for PS4 and 5.
And 6, what the hell?
And, you know, we might do the Xbox, like, 540. You never know.
That was the crazy happenings down at the Best Buy. Apparently there was a line, and it got reformed, and people lost their spot, and, you know, just overall chaos. Wasn't too pleasant. People in line actually were refusing to talk to me. I went to the front. I wanted to talk to the people in the front of the line, and, you know, they couldn't be bothered. I don't know why. I didn't want to have their...
They probably weren't sure that you weren't trying to finagle some way to distract them while you got your guy in line. If I were up in the front of the line with something that was hotly contested, I'd be kind of worried, too.
Well, yeah, I can understand that, but people were just kind of... It was very different from later in the evening when I went to Circuit City. But except for the back of the line. The back of the Best Buy line was very interesting. It was the most surreal thing I saw all night. I arrived there, and there's these two guys in beach folding chairs playing Gears of War on a flat-screen monitor in an Xbox 360.
Excellent.
And I couldn't believe what I was seeing. There it is on the sidewalk, a monitor with an Xbox 360 hooked up to it. And I asked them, I was like, what is this running off of? And the guy told me that he ran a power cord from his 360 and monitor to his car battery.
No
kidding.
He had
an adapter, and he had the car running so they could play Xbox 360 all night while they waited for the PS3.
That's great.
So the Best Buy line, not too friendly. It was very kind of a, the atmosphere. It was very tense that
really?
Night. But after that, I decided I would go check out and see what was up at Circuit City, the brand new open one here in SLO. And there were far less people there. There were probably about 15 people.
Oh, when I was there, there were 2 people because I heard they were getting 2 systems.
Yeah, no, there were 15 people waiting for the PS3, and I talked to some of the people there, and you can take a listen.
And we're trying to make it as fair as possible. Like, if people get here late, you know, we'll put them on our list, and then every 30 minutes we're going to check again. If people aren't here, then they get 2 checks. I mean, we cross them right out.
So is everyone on board with that plan then? Everyone that's come so far?
Everyone accepts that plan, and that's one of the reasons I think it's so smooth here. I mean, obviously the quantities are extremely lacking, and that's what makes it cost so much, but everyone understands that, and no one expects, like, to get 6 of these things. No one expects. Really, and, like...
It's all about determination.
Determination. We've been here for over 24 hours waiting.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, we slept on the ground last night. How was that?
Didn't really get any sleep. I just kind of lay on the ground.
It wasn't about sleeping last night. Last night we just laughed into the darkness.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And it passed the time.
I'm shivering.
Managers at every store ended up, like, telling people that they're going to have to leave, but then they never really enforced it. So the people that were the most stubborn and stayed ended up being
the first
in line, because we just hung out and did our own thing and made it.
So were you guys originally further back than you are now?
Yeah, originally
we were 7, 8, 9.
7, 8, 9, that's right. And then there were people behind us. They all left with the original, like, go home. And then, like, today at noon, you see them roll up. Angry, they go inside yelling at the managers.
So overall, a somewhat more friendly atmosphere, a little more amiable, and the guys are really cool there, too, in that they, you know, open up, talk to me, and things like that. But by far, my most favorite people of the night were these three young men who had been there for over 24 hours, who had not slept at all, and they were delirious with the lack of sleep.
You know, I need to make a correction. I said they got two systems. Those were Wiis.
This the Wii launch.
Yeah, we're still talking about PS3.
Still talking about the PS3 launch.
That feedback earlier on screwed me up.
All right, so check this out. Three guys haven't gotten sleep for over 24 hours, and they decided they would talk to me when I approached them in the Circuit City line. Here's what they had to say.
So in the future, do you see yourself being able to get together with all these people here that you said you shared a bond with and play some PlayStation 3, maybe?
Oh, yeah, dude. We exchange emails.
Emails, and, pictures.
Yeah, I think it's totally possible. And if we happen to, like, make thousands of dollars on each one of these, we're definitely having a block party.
And I mean, like,
each other out too.
Like, everything that we've gone through, like, over the past, like, 30 hours or 20-something hours, like, all the suffering and stuff that we've been going through has, like, enabled us to, like, kind of bond in that sense. And, like, we've shared stories about each other's lives and, like, our experiences, like, you know, with our interests in video games and other aspects of our professional careers.
Do you feel more spiritual in any way?
Actually, I look up at the night sky right now, and, like, last night is foggy as hell. It was, like, so foggy. And, like, I look up at the sky, it's, like, totally clear, and, like, you can see the stars, and I feel like, you know, it's, like, aside from God that, you know, this is meant to happen.
A sign from God that it was meant to happen for him to get a PS3.
Wow.
Yeah, you know you're running on very little sleep and hundreds of granola bars at that point.
That kind of gets into something. Those guys seem like they're having a good time.
Oh, yeah.
And I kind of wish I was out there, you know, camping for something just to say I've done it and just to hang out with the mini conventions of nerds that are everywhere.
Oh, yeah. That was the best part, I think, at Circuit City. Everyone there was, like, laughing. There were some guys that had a little miniature barbecue grill. They were making hamburgers in front of Circuit City in the parking lot. And everyone there was just kind of friendly with each other. They're hanging out. They're laughing, talking, joking, making friends with one another. And I kind of wanted to come back and just stay, even though I knew I wasn't going to get a PS3.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. I went there during their soft opening, before the store had actually opened, because a friend of mine is working the video game section. So I went in, and there's three people working the video game session. Every single one of them are just very nice, amiable people. It was just like, oh, let's go out there and, you know, just hang out, talk about games a little bit. It's a very nice atmosphere. I'm wondering if that store is trying to promote that sort of thing.
That was the very thing that those people online said as well, that the Circuit City, the new one, has a bunch of the people working there are really great people. So
that'd be good. If they have a good manager who's willing to promote this sort of thing, that will secure my interest.
Yeah. And there's a free plug for Circuit City, too. So you need an alternative for your video games and electronics needs? Circuit City, slow.
Yeah, not bad. I mean, it's going to be tough because I already have pretty good rapport with a lot of people at Best Buy and... For a while, I knew a lot of the people at GameStop. Not so much anymore.
You can make new friends.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. Period.
Yeah, I'm allowed to make friends. Yeah.
I'm not. Ha. All right, let's move on to the Wii. Nintendo Wii launch. Same popularity, I would say, but with a different purpose. Everyone who wanted a Wii, it seemed like, wanted a Wii for themselves as opposed to sell it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are a lot more widely available. The Wii was, as opposed to the PS3, and so I think more people went home happy.
You know, they had a shortage of was controllers.
Yeah, that was interesting, too. And in fact, there has been a little bit, I don't want to say controversy, but there has been some issues with the Wii as far as its online service and some
Actually,
updates.
There's a number of issues. Like, see, I have all these little things I want to nitpick about the Wii launch. I don't think it's actually made me dislike the system at all, but they're just things that objectively I say, oh, look, this is bad. So we'll get into that.
And to be fair, the PS3's had its fair share of problems as well. With
I've already written off the PS3. I admit my bias right now. I don't like Sony anymore.
Sony is crying.
So sad.
Dave.
Eat more crayons.
It will fix everything. So as I was saying, there have been some problems with the Wii. And there, to be fair, there are problems with the PS3 as well. But specifically, the Wii problem is the Wii Connect 24, which is that online service that Nintendo brought out with it. There's a problem connecting to the server, and what it does, you can't send messages, you can't download virtual console titles, And in some cases, you can't get to the Nintendo store online, the Wii store, whatever it's called, the marketplace. The other thing is there are a couple of updates that if they're being downloaded, they absolutely foobar the system, and you actually have to send your whole system into Nintendo to get it replaced because the update actually destroys the firmware.
Interesting.
So that isn't too good. But if you have any of those problems, you can contact Nintendo Customer Service. Their number 1-800-255-3700, and they will... You can get it, send your system to them after talking to them if that's what they want you to do. Usually you can get a new console in about 3 to 4 business days.
That's if you get it replaced, though, with a new
console,
right?
That's if you get it replaced with
a new
one. So
all of your downloaded games, because those are tied to the system,
right,
aren't going to be there, and you'll just lose them. It's not like Microsoft where they give you a refund for the number of points.
I don't believe so.
Yeah. However, wasn't there something about you could get the system repaired, not
yes.
replaced?
You can get it repaired. That takes longer. That takes about 8 to 12 business days, and you actually have to wait for Nintendo to ship you a shipping label. So if you're having any of these problems, talk to Nintendo Customer Service, definitely, first of all. But Nintendo is replacing your systems if you happen to screw it up by downloading something that causes problems, so don't worry about that.
This gets into something interesting. Nintendo has achieved something that not a whole lot of companies are able to do, and that is the sort of, what do you call that, this mental mind share. I think that's what Apple was calling it, because they're trying to do this too. When I buy a Nintendo machine, there's this understanding that it's going to work pretty well. Whatever bizarre thing they're trying to do with it is going to work well. And if something does go wrong, it's usually a manufacturing problem, and they'll replace it. When the DS Lites came out, they had the... when the DSs first came out, there was the dead pixel controversy. Nintendo said, if it bothers you at all, with so much as one pixel, we'll replace it free of charge. When the DS Lites came out, some of them had lighting and battery issues. Some of them had that little crack issue with the hinge. And Nintendo said, we'll replace it for free. Totally free of charge. If you want a different color, sure, you can pay us a few dollars because then we'll give you a new system. But if you want the same color, totally free. So when the Wii comes out, I'm expecting Nintendo to have the same sort of attention to detail and quality. But their online service isn't entirely ready yet. The Weather Channel isn't going to be deployed until December. Their firmware updates, well, there's a firmware update on day one of release. And that firmware update is breaking some of these machines. It's just inconsistent with what Nintendo's doing.
And not to mention that the news channel won't be out till January either.
Yeah, see that? It doesn't make me dislike the system. At its core, this is a games machine, and it plays games. It plays Zelda, and it plays Red Steel, and it plays Excite Truck, which I love.
And Trauma Center.
And Trauma Center, and it rocks. It totally rocks, but it has all these little side features that, I don't know, it just doesn't seem Nintendo-ish. Now, this is what originally set me off on this tack. Nintendo, if you want to get your Wii replaced with a new one, you know, lose all your virtual console things or whatever, they do the same thing Dell Computer does for their business customers. You don't send the Wii off to them, and then they send you another one back. No, they send you one first, and then you get it, and then you put yours into the same package, and, you know, with the shipping label, and send it back. So you never have to spend any time without a Wii once they can get theirs to you. You don't have to wait for it to send off and get repaired. You don't have to wait for them to authenticate it and decide if they're going to send you one and then fight with their managers to get one. That's a really nice move, and
yes.
I really appreciate that attention to detail, and this is one of the reasons I love Nintendo.
And it builds customer loyalty as well, because they're looking out for you and your experience with the Wii. Nintendo has this theory. They want you to experience the Wii. They want you to love it. They want you to give it a chance and then love it, and it's about making sure you have that experience, especially on launch, like you said. Send you a system so you don't have to go without it. It's a smart move.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
I work at Cal Poly right now doing computer support, and that's how Dell does their service. When we need a new part, say a hard drive breaks, they send us a new drive, we install it, we say, okay, it works, and we send the old one in, and they'll fix it and do whatever it is they will with it. It makes our operations run a lot smoother. It's a very nice gesture. It's a great way to do things. We really appreciate it. So, I mean, on the one hand, Nintendo's doing that. On the other hand, it feels like some of their online stuff is a little unfinished, so I don't know. Like I said, I'm going to nitpick on things that don't really matter because that's kind of what I do. And those people who know me know that I'll complain about the silliest things that don't mean anything. But I still think they're worth noticing because fixing them makes a great offering that much better.
Well said. Well said.
Thank you.
And some positive Wii news. I don't, you know, let's not dwell on the negative here. Let's go to the positive
Wii.
Yeah,
let's do that. I do like the Wii.
Yeah. How about Wii Play? You know that little compilation of mini games, table tennis, air hockey.
Mm-hmm.
What else is in there? There's a light gun game.
There's the duck hunt.
Kind of like duck hunt. Yeah, it's a light gun game.
It's got ducks. You hunt them.
So it's like a modern day duck hunt. Pool, fishing. There's a bunch of other games. It's a compilation of mini games, kind of like Wii Sports. It uses the Mii, which is that little virtual avatar
The Miis are
that
cute.
Nintendo introduced.
I made mine look like Murder Face from Metalocalypse. Because he has the same mustache I used to.
That's healthy. Healthy.
I love that show.
And it uses the Mii in some of the games. And the best part is it's coming out in the U.S. on January 15th. But if you buy it through EB Games, it's actually going to be in a bundle. And for the regular price of a normal Wii game, you'll get Wii Play and a Wiimote.
No kidding.
Together. So it's a good deal, good bargain if you want another Wiimote and something in another game.
So you buy a Wiimote, you buy a game, you get Wii Play for free?
No, you buy Wii Play and you get a Wiimote.
For free?
Well...
Or no, is it just part of the bundle?
It's part of the bundle.
Okay.
It's part of the bundle.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Imagine buying a normal game, that price, and then...
Oh, I see. Okay, I heard that wrong. For the same price as a normal game.
Yes,
so
you get Wii Play and a Wiimote.
Oh, okay. Hey, that's not bad.
Yeah, so if you didn't get an extra Wiimote or you want Wii Play...
Oh, I got the last Wiimote at Circuit City.
Ooh.
No nunchuck, unfortunately.
Just the Wiimote.
Just the Wiimote.
How are you liking the system so far?
Well, okay, so I said I'd nitpick about little things, right? Here it goes. This system is ripe for the nitpicking. First of all, let's get this out there. This system rocks. It rocks my socks. It rocks my boxers. It's a fantastic machine that I would go out and buy without hesitation if my roommate hadn't already done so. That said, I'm going to talk about little silly things. The Wiimote, as I understand it, reads light sources, and that's how it figures out where it is. So if the sun is behind your TV, as it is on two windows in our living room, it spazzes out.
If you're playing your Wii next to a microwave... For some reason,
I haven't tried that. Well,
it will spaz out.
Will it?
Yes.
Okay, so I want to figure out, just hook a spectrometer up to this thing and just figure out, what kind of light it's putting off. I'm sure I can find someone who knows enough about that to show me how to do it. So we found out that you can crank the sensitivity down, but until we had done that, playing Red Steel was an exercise in holy crud.
Yeah, that's kind of how my my experience with it at E3 was, too.
Well, it's strange. It's, on the one hand, it's like a light gun. You point it at the screen, it does stuff. But it'll say things like, point the Wiimote at the center of the screen. But what they mean is point it at the center of the sensor bar. So, the software can tell whether the sensor bar is below the screen or above the screen because you've told it so, but you still have to point it down or up, and depending on where you've placed it, the game changes. You're holding the controller slightly differently. I would think you'd want to calibrate this thing and set it up so that pointing at the center of the screen is the center of the screen. Whether I'm playing this on a 12-inch little $10 TV or I'm playing this on some giant HD TV, that's going to affect things quite a lot. And it was driving me nuts in Monkey Ball until I started figuring out that it was based on the Wiimote's position and not the TV. So I thought that was a strange move, especially if they're going to have light gun games where, pixel-perfect aiming is really an important thing, especially for the hardcore players. The other little thing is these controllers lag. They lag just a little bit. If you've ever used...
Unfortunately.
Yeah. It's part of the technology. An accelerometer needs a period of time to figure out what's happening. But I was kind of hoping Nintendo would pull out something magic. That's okay, though. They're still working with current-gen technology, and they're designing their games such that it really doesn't matter. Again, light gun games, though, I'm used to playing with a gun con where I'll point somewhere, and as soon as I fire the trigger, it figures out where it is, versus, it is possible to wave the Wiimote across the screen and pull the trigger such that the cursor will only have moved halfway by the time you fire it. So any of you guys at Cal Poly, go in and play the new... the new arcade game they have there, what's it called? Help me out here. Lethal Enforcers 3. Same thing. It lags the same way. And if you're used to playing the first two games, this will drive you nuts. So,
So some problem. It's definitely an ambitious
move. Tiny little things. Things that drive me nuts because I look at these sorts of things, but 99% of people aren't going to care at all.
But see, here's the thing that kind of irks me about this, is that when you're developing a new interface, if it's flawed, that's a fundamental flaw. Lag and... not imprecision in where you're pointing it. Well, great as the system is, as fun as it, it plays, those are things that need to be ironed out before you introduce the new technology. Those can conceivably cause lots of problems, and to me, that would just annoy the heck out of me.
See, the latency issue? I think they actually thought about this one. We're moving into an era of HDTVs. Most people plugging a game system into an HDTV are going to experience some latency. And it's a very small percentage of gamers that care enough to do anything about it. So I think, by and large, most people aren't going to care. And I think Nintendo waited until we... Well, actually I just said that kind of off the cuff. I wonder about that. Do you think Nintendo waited until that sort of thing is commonplace before deploying their new technology? Supposedly Miyamoto came up with a basic design for the Wiimote back in the NES days.
It's possible. So, it's very possible.
I wonder.
Unveil the technology at the right time when it's appropriate and whatnot.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, they're designing their games such that that's not really an issue at all. But
the future of the Wii and the future of this whole console generation is going to be a great battle to follow, and I look forward so much to seeing how that unfolds with the Wii being so different and people sort of predicting it as like a second as an alternative to whichever major console you want, but now it's sort of developed its own branding and it's very popular. It's going to be very interesting to see where this goes, and it looks to me like all three companies are sort of specializing. You know, Nintendo with a unique gameplay, Microsoft with an online community aspect to the games, and PS3, highest technology available. You know, and three different moves, and they can all go in very separate directions that will be very interesting to look at.
It's interesting, too. When I played the Wii games, now I just played Gears of War, right? HD, you know, crazy awesome looking. I'm playing the Wii, and the first thing that hits me is, this reminds me of playing a Nintendo 64 game, playing Red Steel and Zelda. You know, I'm reminded more of Zelda 64 and GoldenEye when I play those games than games on the GameCube. I don't know why. They are GameCube-quality graphics, but it feels like I'm playing an older kind of game with a futuristic control scheme. It feels just like when I would take MechWarrior and I'd start attaching, you know, presentation gyroscope-laden air mice to my head to make a head-tracking system and plugging all these crazy controls that weren't designed for the game into it. It feels just like that. It was a blast then, it's a blast now. And then you have, you know, Microsoft, where everything's looking crazy and awesome. And then you have the PlayStation 3, which catches fire and dies. And that's quite a specialization.
Yeah. Oh, and, you know, you can warm your feet on cold nights. Yeah.
It's just interesting. You know, these other systems, I get this feeling of, oh, I'm looking at next-gen games. I don't get that feeling on the Wii. I feel like I'm looking at really good current-gen games.
Different strokes for different folks. Different area of mastery for this kind of thing. So
we always say gameplay over graphics. And this is, you know, we're putting our money where our mouth is now.
And yeah, and this will truly decide if that can last, if gameplay over graphics can last. However, I would like to point out that when you have both gameplay and graphics, things are just great.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
I don't know, Gears of War?
Gears of War.
We will come up with that in just a second. We're going to review Gears of War for you, of course, and some interesting Gears of War-related news came out today.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes, that Gears fans will be happy to hear, so stick around. In the meantime, as I promised, some Dark Side. That's the song. It's by Akuma Joe Belmont, who you heard earlier. And also, don't forget, if you want to email the show, you can do it anytime you want. PressStartKCPR@gmail.com. We'll be right back.
I'm
This is Press Start on KCPR, San Luis Obispo, 91.3 FM, and you may also hear us on the internet, pressstart.thefighting.org. Pressstart.thefighting.org. You can download the show, subscribe to the podcast, see details about my life, like why I'm coughing so much.
We need to figure out how to get that thing to show which of us posted news.
Yeah.
Because right now it doesn't show that, and so if we say I, it makes no sense.
We're collective I, you
That's right.
I mean.
We're like the Borg.
Resistance is futile.
Listen to our show. Rock, rock, rock.
So, yes, do listen to our show. And every Wednesday, of course, here on KCPR 91.3 FM, or download the show from the website pressstart.thefighting.org. You can leave comments. You can also email the show at our email address, pressstartkcpr@gmail.com. We had a great riveting discussion about the Wii and the PS3 and all that just before the music break. So it's going to be good times.
I like the new hardware. The Wii has me excited. I want to learn what makes it tick. I want to learn if I can hack my own sensor bar. I want to learn if I can tweak with the Wiimotes. If I'm right about how this works, we might be able to build a sensor bar that adjusts to the size of your TV. We'll see. We'll see.
I can't wait to see what you come up with.
I want to see what I come up with. I don't think it's going to work at all because I'm just a nerdy college student. But,
hey,
you know
who was a nerdy college student? Bill Gates was a nerdy college student. And look where that is.
Yeah, now we hate him.
Yeah, well, you're on your way, Dave. You're on your way.
Actually, I do like his game console.
And so do I. And speaking of his game consoles, Gears of War, the reason to own an Xbox 360, came out November 4th, Emergence Day.
That is a neat, neat game.
Neat game. I was I played it, last week, I believe?
Yeah, it was last Tuesday.
Last Tuesday, and I am in love. Let me just start. We're going to start with a little review from me. Four-word review and a number. Oh, man, must buy 360. That's my review of Gears of War.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Can I buy one?
Eventually, at some point.
Okay.
I'm also
wondering about that. Everybody says must buy, and I'm thinking, like, how many people who say it's a must buy actually buy it? I mean, I have to go out of my way not to say that things are must buys because I know I won't.
It's come to the point now where everything for me that's a must buy, I actually do buy.
Awesome.
so, yeah, you know. But let's talk about Gears of War a little bit here because this game is quite fantastic. Basically, the premise is you're on this alien world after humans have sort of colonized the universe, and I forget the planet's name, Sarah, I believe it is.
Oh, I have no idea. I didn't pay attention to any of
that. Yeah, the story is kind of secondary to the awesome gameplay. Essentially, you play as this soldier named Marcus Fenix, and you...
How many games start off? You're a hardened space marine.
You're a hardened space marine, and you get broke out of jail by your friends.
Yeah, Dom, I think his name is.
Yeah, and there you are. You are thrown into the midst of it. You've got these alien creatures known as the Cog who, like, come from underground.
I think they're the Locust.
Or, I'm sorry, the Locust, yes. The Locust, they, like, get spit up by the ground, and they come after you in swarms of gun-wielding annihilation.
A swarm is usually between three and five or six.
Yes, and the whole engine to this game is designed around taking cover and playing with a teammate or playing with your squad. Gotta take cover. As I said earlier, if I hear gunfire now in a game, I'm immediately looking for a place to hide.
Yeah.
And you have to do that, otherwise you're going to get destroyed in Gears of War.
The number one complaint I hear about this game from people who, you know, don't have the 360 and want to talk crap about it is this game is just another first-person shooter. And that's actually also what I thought when I first saw it. I was like, all right, you know, Cliff Bleszinski, Epic Mega Games, they made Unreal. All right, this is the new Unreal. Well, it's not even first-person. It's third-person.
Third-person shooter.
If you try to do... You know, it's not like a lot of them where you run around. It's all about how well you shoot. No, in this game, if you circle strafe someone, you're going to die.
Yeah.
We said between 3 and 5 or 6 people constitute a swarm. That's because every one of them can take about as many shots as you can.
A lot of shots. But at the same time, they can also dish it out.
That's right. If you stand there and just shoot guns at each other, you can go through one guy, tops.
Yeah, and you'll die. And
maybe on easy you could. Medium is where this game is fun.
Yes, and the premise is... Especially if you're playing with another person, because the co-op mode is just awesome in this game. When you have another player playing with you, and the cool part is it's got Xbox Live co-op too. So if you don't have another person to play with you, you can play online with someone. But you have to cover each other. It's all about playing as a team, as a four-man unit, utilizing your computer players and your human teammates to get through these levels and set up cover. And I think the coolest part is that there are areas where there's branching pathways where you can go one way and your friend can go the other, and you wind up in totally different parts of the same area, and you can cover each other and, like, play off each other's strategies.
We're going to gush about multiplayer in this game because, honestly, I don't think this game would be much fun single player.
It would be fun, but multiplayer takes it to a whole new level.
Oh, see, at first single player, I think this would be a good a good third person, you know, what are they calling that? Stop and pop, like take cover, shoot and stuff sort of game. I think it'd be a pretty good game like that. But this game really celebrates the whole teamwork aspect.
Yes.
You mentioned, you know, four-man squad, but honestly, half the time I don't even realize the computer players are there, and the other half the time they're dead. And so the two of you really hold the team. And it's working with your friend to solve a situation when you see it, and you're like, oh, what can I do? Oh, one of us can push this car while the other uses it as cover to, you know, we push it up towards the machine gun on the post. One of us draws their fire. The other guy goes in with a sniper rifle and tries to take him out. It's an absolute rush when you pull something off like that.
And it's, when you pull it off, that's the best part. When you tell your teammate, look, go after that position. I will lay down fire on them, and you get them, and I will hide. And if you don't get them, I will die. And you literally put your character's life in the hands of your partner, because if they don't pull off what you need them to pull off, you're dead, pretty much.
There's a couple sections where that really is kind of a binary case. If they do it, you win. If they don't, you die. And those sections are annoying. They are, however, not many in number.
But there's also a certain thrill at that.
Oh, it's thrilling. Too. It's just annoying when you have to go through something 10 times because you need to make sure both of you are on top of your game. One of you dies, the team goes down. It can be kind of frustrating. On the other hand, that's one of the reasons I think this game is good. On Medium, which is where we're playing, because hard isn't available until you've beaten the game once, which some people don't really like. I think it's fine. It lets you play through it twice. On Medium, this game is not so hard that you have to be absolutely on top of your game. There's a lot of room for error. There's no life bars. It's like Halo, where, you know, your shield goes down and then it...
There's regenerative health. Regenerative health that you don't know really how much there is, except by a little icon that pops up.
That's right. And so, you know, you're back up to full health pretty soon, but full health doesn't last that long in the middle of a firefight. So it's, you know, if you screw up a little bit, or you screw up even a fair amount, you can still recover from it. But, you know, you have to either get into a bad strategic position, or you have to screw up a whole bunch of times to actually die.
And it's all about how well you play. It's not necessarily cheap or anything. It's if you aren't making right decisions, you're going to pay for it.
And even if one of you goes down because you just got caught in a bunch of gunfire you didn't see coming, that happens. It's war, and the game models the fact that you can't see everything very well. Your other guy can come tag you. This game actually plays just like freeze tag. One of you gets shot, you go down, the other guy can go tag you and pick you back up. You'll regenerate.
That, I think, is the greatest addition to a shooting game. And I know Battlefield 2 did it a little bit, but this game, especially when you're playing as a team and one of you dies, the fact that your teammate can go over and resurrect you is just absolutely great. I think that it's I can't believe I played shooters without it. I mean, you know, respawn and things like that are a way to... That was, you know, back when the technology wasn't as good. But now, sort of like how FF12 sort of redefines the RPG, Gears of War does some things that sort of redefine what needs to be in a shooter. And the fact that you can resurrect a dead teammate, sort of like give him a little pick-me-up, and he can get right back and fighting and help you, is just awesome because it provides strategy. Like, for example, if he goes down, like, in front of a machine gun... You know, a machine gun turret, you can't just run out and save him because you're going to get cut up yourself. Well, so you got to somehow complete the strategy you two had in place beforehand before you can get him back to help you.
Of course, they're very clever about this. You know, in games where you could respawn, like Quake, or Halo did this too. So long as one of you was alive, the other would eventually respawn. Well, so if both of you died, then you're out. This game, you know, also has that. However, if one of you goes down, you can actually go all the way down. If you get chainsawed in half, you're not going to get resurrected.
Yeah.
Likewise, if you get killed and then the enemy runs up and, you know, stomps your head in, you're still going to die. You can't rely on the fact that one of you is going to, you know, be able to come back up if the other one survives. So if, you know, you mentioned a guy going down in front of a turret, well, if the turret keeps firing on you, you can get taken down all the way, and then both of you will lose, and you'll have to start the section over. The checkpoints are placed intelligently and generally in such a way that we don't feel like we have to replay a huge amount of space. But it still remains challenging enough that, you know, we get past the segment, we say, all right, cool. It's a very well-practiced, and I think it's the sort of thing they played a lot and said, okay, this is fun, and it's not too ridiculous, and, you know, we want to make a game that people are going to play and enjoy playing.
And it feels to me a lot, too, like it's sort of the game was meant to be a co-op game and not necessarily a single-player game. It harkens back to the days of, like, the 16-bit co-op game, you know, like...
There's two of you.
Like Contra, or for example. Yeah. This seems to me like a really advanced version of Contra or something like in that nature.
It's kind of like Contra, yeah.
Where you're playing with a teammate, but that's more important, but at the same time, it's simple and fun, and I don't know, it just seems like that.
I guess what it comes down to is you don't have to be a hardcore enthusiast of third-person shooters or of, you know, strategic tactical games to enjoy this.
Yes.
I am terrible at tactical games or, you know, games that involve stealth or positioning. Splinter Cell series, I'm terrible at. Metal Gear, I'm terrible at those games. I'm pretty good at first-person shooters. Yet I loved Gears of War. I didn't feel like there was this huge learning curve. My roommate showed me a couple of basic tricks that he said, oh, well, I'm going to run this way. You need to cover over here because that way, you know, that's where the enemies will have to come through. And I said, oh, okay. And I learned. You know, I didn't feel like there was something stopping me up front. I feel like the game's very accessible if you've played some video games.
And what helps you is that it's simply complex, I think I would put it. It's simple enough that you can pick up and start playing it and enjoy yourself while playing it, but at the same time, there's a lot of depth as well. For example, the quick reload function that where
yeah,
every time
about that.
Every time you reload a gun, a little meter appears below your ammunition, and if you hit the reload button again in a certain spot in that meter, your guy will actually reload faster, his gun faster, and your bullets will be more powerful for a couple seconds afterwards.
Well, so there's a couple of ranges. One is very small, and that range gives you both the fast reload and the more powerful bullets. And I read somewhere that the number of more powerful bullets you get, which only last for, you know, a few seconds, so you have to use them. If you just cover and wait for your super-powered guns, they go away. That little area, it's based on how close to the center of that admittedly very small place that you hit it that determines how many bullets you're going to get. There's a large area after that that simply gives you the fast reload.
And then,
if you go for it, you run the risk of doing it early, at which point your gun jams.
Yeah, if you do it early or do it too late, you actually reload slower than normal because your gun jams up. And it adds like an interesting little rhythm minigame, you know, to this, and adds strategy as well, because if you're pinned down and your teammate's taking fire and you have to reload, you better learn to master that quick reload so you can get back up and start shooting again to cover your partner. And especially in multiplayer versus multiplayer, that will come in huge amounts of handy because you can take advantage of that in situations to reload quicker.
I was reading somewhere that's pretty much sometimes the defining moment.
Yeah, it is reloading faster than your opponent. And that's another aspect where, you know, a great addition to the shooting genre that, like, I can't believe I haven't played a game without this before.
Yeah, this game is just, the whole thing is executed very well. There are a small number of bugs, some of which will break your game, but you can load your checkpoint.
Yeah.
As far as I know, they don't affect
Halo
multiplayer
too
much.
Halo had that too in some spare areas as well.
Every modern game does. Yeah. Games are just such complex things at this point. When we were playing, we got into a hallway and we couldn't kill any of the enemies because one of them, I guess, got stuck in a wall. We heard him. We just couldn't find him. We ran around for 10 minutes.
But this game, great decisions. Epic made great decisions designing this game on how it plays and how it plays out. And the graphics, of course, are just wonderful.
I'm really amazed that they can put out the kind of visuals they have without running the frame rate down. The game, every once in a while, the frame rate chunks out, usually when there's a million things happening at once. But 95% of the time, I'd say, maybe 94 if we want to nitpick, is smooth. It's certainly not, you know, 60 frames a second, but it's a comfortable 25. It's well into playable.
Yeah, and it looks good. It just, I mean, especially when you have component hooked up from the Xbox 360.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we have this running 480 progressive, I think.
Yeah, it looks absolutely great.
That's interesting. 720, the frame rate might drop. 1080, it'll definitely probably drop. It's entirely up to what you guys want to do pushing the system.
Yeah.
I play all my games at 480 because that's just a smaller number of pixels to have to process, and I value smoothness over pixels. So bear that in mind. If you're running some crazy HD setup, your mileage may vary. I haven't gotten a chance to try it.
But regardless, the game still is fun.
It's a great game.
Most important thing. And final verdict on Gears of War, I give it if you own a 360, get it. If you don't own a 360, get a 360 and get it. That's how good this game is.
I hope you don't mind swearing in blood, because there is that. I give this game 2 thumbs up, chainsawed right off.
2 thumbs up, and we haven't talked about the chainsaw bayonet.
Well, everybody talks about the chainsaw.
We're running out of time,
about the chainsaw bayonet.
Once you discover the chainsaw bayonet, you will learn to love it. Gears of War, awesome game. Get it if you have a soul at all. Real quick, before we head off, there is some interesting Gears of War news that just came out today. Jeff Bell, who's the Microsoft Corporate VP of Global Marketing, he was talking about the commercial for Gears of War. You've seen it, perhaps. It's got
that's one with Mad World,
Mad
right?
World by Gary Jules, yes. Great commercial. But here's what he was quoted as saying today. Excitement tops the list of desired emotions, but they want to be scared, too. They want the rush that comes from being scared by an enemy or trapped in a dark room and escaping with their lives. The goal of this ad, the Gears of War ad, is to establish Marcus Fenix as the hero of the Gears of War trilogy. The intention is to create emotional connection with him that is lacking in typical third-person action title marketing by communicating a sense of desperation, loneliness, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, man, they failed miserably. I came away from that ad saying, okay, this game has a chainsaw in it.
Well, but the only thing you need to know is that there is two more Gears of War games on the way, according to this Microsoft VP here.
Really?
So we've got a trilogy here on our hands, and where you will see these two games, no one knows. It's just kind of like a little detail that kind of slipped out from him, and We'll keep you up to date on that as much as we can. But if you like Gears of War, rest assured there is more on the way.
That's good. I heard the ending was not very good. I unfortunately didn't get to the end because we just rented it. But I heard the ending just happens too abruptly.
Kind of like Halo 2.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't get that.
I like that kind of ending because, I don't know, it's...
I like it when there's another game coming.
Yeah, when you know there's another game coming.
Yeah.
All right, that is Press Start for this week. Thank you for being patient with us.
And thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for
tuning in. Appreciate it.
Thanks for being patient that we didn't get a show up last week. No post show today because you internet people are going to get this show first this week. So don't forget, if you want to email the show, pressstartkcpr@gmail.com. And don't forget to check out the website, pressstart.thefighting.org. And if you want to read my blog, you can do that too, gamesarefun.com.
And keep yourself posted on the podcast stream. If I can pull it off and I have some time over the break, I'm going to see if I can't do some extra reviews or something like that. So, if you're tuning in, that's awesome. If not, yeah, you'll get it next week. Everybody, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And if you don't celebrate it, have a wonderful period of time when other people are celebrating Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone as well.
And drive safe.
Drive
safe. All that is good and holy.
And real quick, what are we thankful for? I am thankful for... the next generation of gaming, because I love being a gamer.
I'm thankful for all sorts of things. Video games, honestly, aren't that important in the scheme.
But are we doing a show on the grand scheme of life? No, I don't think so.
Press Start, the grand scheme of life. It'll be our extra sideshow. All the post shows are going to turn into philosophy and theological arguments. And
not if I have anything to say about it.
Well, I see. That's why I'm going to be doing extra reviews on my own.
All right. Thank you for listening. He's Dave Hampton. I'm Justin Vecino. Thanks for listening to Press Start. We'll be back next week. Game over.